The year is 305 AD. You are not alive. What's significant about 305? It's the time that Constantine, the Emperor of Rome, declared Christianity is legitimate. It's legal. It is a bona fide religion of the empire. No longer third-class status, no longer the sense of being illegitimate. We're real, says the emperor. Of course, Christianity has been in the Roman Empire for a long time as an illegitimate religion. 11 years later, in what is now known as Hungary, a family welcomes a newborn. He eventually is given the name of Martin. And at the age of 10, Martin tells his parents, "I want to follow Jesus." His parents are not Christian. His parents are secular. But they did not discourage their son. At the age of 15, however, Martin becomes a member of the Roman army, not of his own choice. He was impressed by the Roman army. "You will come with us. You're young enough to serve." And so Martin puts on the uniform of the Roman Empire. 15 years old. He has not lost this persuasion that he wants to follow Jesus. It's still there. And he has made some inquiries as to how that could work. And he's told that there is going to be a class for catechumens. It's going to take a year. And you're going to learn about Jesus. And you're going to learn about the scripture, as much as we know of them. And then you can be baptized and you will be a Christian. These are my words. But Martin said, "Sign me up." Roman soldier. As a catechumen, it might be something that creates a ruckus in your mind, and it created a ruckus in Martin's mind as well. In fact, he was bold enough to say as a teenager, "I am a follower of Jesus. I cannot be one who kills other people. I cannot be a soldier in the Roman Empire." I don't know how much you know about the Roman army, but that doesn't go well. That does not go well. But Martin wasn't discharged from the army. He continued his catechumen classes. But then there is this moment in his life that is totally transforming everything that he knew, everything that he understood. He sees a man who is disheveled. We would call him a beggar. Martin is going back to where he stays as a Roman soldier. He looks at the man. He takes his knife. He cuts his uniform in half and gives half to the beggar and then goes on. Goes home, and his biographer says it was a cold night. As he's lying in bed, trying to go to sleep, eventually sleep takes over. And Martin's biographer, who interestingly enough, became a very close friend, tells this story. As he's asleep, he has a vision. And Jesus comes wearing the half of the Roman uniform. You can imagine, stunning, riveting for this young boy. He wakes up in the morning and he looks for his uniform, expecting to see only half, but he sees it all. A miracle, says his biographer. I don't know what you do with miracles. But the uniform got sewed back together again in some miraculous way. And Martin attests to the fact that that was the pivotal moment in his life when he left the Roman army at the age of 18, became baptized as a Christian. He died at the age of 85. His name is Martin of Tours. His mentor was Hilary of Poitiers. Martin eventually became a bishop. I tell you that story because it's Memorial Day. And for all of us in the Christian side of the chaplaincy of the military, we look at Martin as our mentor. He's the one who responded to the call of Christ. I know, you'll ask your question, how can you wear the uniform and still be a part of the military? It's an age-old question, it's a bothersome question. I spent a lot of time trying to figure that out before I received my commission in the Navy as a chaplain. I think it can be done. Because my mentor, a man by the name of Vincent Capodanno, Roman Catholic priest that I met in Vietnam, he was 10 years older than I. And I asked him one time, I said, Vince, how do you know what to do when you're with the battalion and they come under fire? What do you do? I go where I'm needed. And at the age of 25, I asked the naive question, how do you know where you're needed? When you hear the cry for help. That can be in a combat situation, it can be in a non-combat situation, but that's what you do. You respond to that need that presents itself. I've never forgotten that. Vince was killed in a firefight on my birthday, September 4th, 1967. I have a rubbing of his name down on the wall that hangs in my study. A persistent reminder, which I'll never forget. Martin of Tours, young boy, eventually becomes a bishop. A marker, not only in my life, but I think in the lives of a number of other military chaplains. So here you have this uniform, this piece of clothing. And now we come to Pentecost. And you're saying, that's an abrupt change. Yes, it is, because Pentecost was abrupt. Here they were waiting. Jesus had said something's going to happen, and they're waiting. Fire and wind show up. What comes to mind when those two come together? destruction. Clearly, destruction. But that wasn't the case on Pentecost Sunday. The fire and the wind entered the life of those that were huddled in the upper room, and that room was changed forever. It spilled out into the community, not with the ravage of what flood and fire can do, but with the gospel of Christ, a revolutionary message by a revolutionary man, Jesus the Christ. Pentecost comes, and that message gets distributed throughout the Roman Empire. It made it to where Martin grew up in what we now know to be Hungary. It made it to Turkey and the seven churches that are listed in the scripture that resided in Turkey. It made it to one church in the Lycus Valley in Turkey, Colossae. And it's the Apostle Paul who speaks in the letter to the Romans, the letter to the Corinthians, and to his protege, Timothy, that talks about the indwelling and the infilling of the Holy Spirit. It's a Pentecost message. And Paul takes that Pentecost message and says, this is how this message needs to be brought into the community of which you are a part. And this is what you need to wear when you reveal the message. You got to get a new set of clothes. So, in this year, or in this month of May, where we have graduations, proms, weddings, and on Memorial Day, parades, and etc., there's all kind of clothes that's being worn. And people are very careful to indicate whether you are dressed appropriately. Oh, you don't wear that dress to the prom. You don't wear that suit to the prom. What are you thinking? This is what you need to wear. Oh, you're going to be married? Wonderful. No, you don't wear that clothes. You wear this clothes. Are you going to march in the parade? No, you can't do it with Crocs and shorts. It won't work. This is what you need to wear representing who you are. And we have fashion police. I have fashion police in my house. When I left active service of the Navy and came to a prep school, my wife said to me, we need to go out and buy three jackets for you and a new suit. And my eyes just went into dollar signs, and I said, do you realize we have just come to this prep school? Do you realize that I have taken a downward turn in my salary? Do you realize? And she said, I do. But you have no clothes to wear to teach. And she said, no, the uniform will not work. Oh, I have all those uniforms. No, they won't work. So there are fashion police. And there are fashion police in our business sectors. I'm not so sure what Casual Friday is all about. Oh, you don't wear a tie. Okay, I get it, if I'm a man. What does that mean for a woman? I have no idea. And now when COVID came, what do you wear to work? What have you been used to on Zoom? Yeah, you don't wear that to the business. So we have fashion police that are constantly inquiring about the legitimacy of the clothes that we're wearing. Doesn't match, doesn't fit, wrong colors, on and on and on it goes. Paul's not talking about that. Paul's not talking about the actual fiber that you're wearing. Paul's talking about something that gets infused into the fibers of your life. So, Susan Nelson is a Lutheran pastor, and she writes for Lectionary Homiletics. This is what she suggested for the day of Pentecost. The day of Pentecost is the day in which the Holy Spirit breaks us out of our preoccupation with self and frees us to serve our neighbors, loosens our grasp on our possessions, and sets us to loving people. Essentially, Pentecost is about a change in wardrobe. It's the Apostle Paul who's speaking to the Christians gathered in Colossae. It's an interesting, diverse group of people in Colossae. There are Gentiles. There are Jews. There are people that come from, you name the countries that were listed in Acts 2. When the Holy Spirit descended and they heard everybody in their own tongue. This church was diverse in terms of its representation of people groups. And to that church, the Apostle Paul is now talking about the infusion of this moment at Pentecost into your life. As one who lives here in Turkey. And so we have this. Since God, this is what Paul writes to the Colossian Christians. Since God chose you to be the holy people whom he loves, you must clothe yourself with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. You must make allowance for others' faults and forgive the person who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. And the most important piece of clothing you must wear is love. Love is that which binds us together in perfect harmony. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, for as members of one body, you are called to live together in peace, and always be thankful. Those are the fibers, those are the threads that need to be woven together that become the fabric of our lives. Those are Pentecost garments. Those are Pentecost clothing. And it's not to be worn so that others say, oh, where can I buy that? No, I'm willing to, I'll take my knife and I'll cut it in half and I'll give it to you. The echo of Martin of Tours. There's no citing of this in Martin's biography. And yet it strikes me that when we have the lectionary readings, these readings do not come together by accident. They come together in a mysterious way. Isaiah has this vision. Who shall I send? Says the voice of God. And Isaiah says, here am I, send me. I think Martin possibly could have heard that, ingested it in his soul, taken it in completely. Here I am, Lord, send me. It's fascinating. Isaiah and the book of the Psalms are filled in the gospel record. Those two books in the scripture have been woven in to the gospel. Jesus refers to the Psalms, the gospel writers refer to Isaiah. Lots and lots of citations, more than any other sightings. So the question today is, what are you going to wear? Amen.